Take your Bibles, go to Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4, we're going to read verses 4 through 8. And I'll read verse 4 and then you read verse 5 with me. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 4. He taught me also and said unto me, let thine heart retain my words, keep my commandments and live. Get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not. Neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. Exalt her, and she shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honor when thou dost embrace her. And let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, thank you again. Lord, I know it's been a good week. It's been a long week. But Lord, I pray that please you would help us tonight as we come to this small time. I pray that, Father, please you would open our understanding, open our eyes, and help us, please, Lord, to apply your word to our lives so that you can bless us and help us, please. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, you can have a seat there. So here God says in verse 4, God says, get wisdom and get understanding. And God says, get it. Of course, we're told to buy truth and sell it not, right? We're told, but it says here at the end of verse 4, it says, I'm sorry, verse 7 says, with all thy getting, get understanding. That means with everything you have, you're supposed to seek God's wisdom. We're told in the Bible, if you don't get saved, you're going to die and go to hell. God declares that many times. And if you'll believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you can have everlasting life. But isn't it amazing? God doesn't even say, whatever it takes, get saved. Now, I think whatever it takes, you need to get saved, right? But God does. The only thing God points us to at all costs and the most important thing in the Christian life, with everything you have, get wisdom. And then he says, get understanding. And understanding helps you understand what wisdom is. Wisdom, we're going to look at here. There's two wisdoms. There's a good wisdom and a bad wisdom. Obviously, God says, get his wisdom, not the world's wisdom. But then God says, understanding, and that would always include the Bible. So a wisdom, what is wisdom? Wisdom is seeing life through God's eyes. Okay? Wisdom is prioritizing life with God's prioritizing. Everything is not number one with God, right? So there should be a priority order, a wise way you look at things. And so, if you study wisdom, see, here we are in the book of Proverbs, and it is the book of poetry, which means what? Organization of thought. There's nothing that rhymes in the books of poetry, right? So it's an organization of thought, which also teaches you how to read your Bible, right? There's five books of poetry, right? Job, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, and Song of Solomon, which lets you know at least those books you're supposed to. You're never supposed to read your Bible like a newspaper or a novel. You're supposed to read it and think about it. Read it and think about it. What is God saying to me? What does God mean? And what's the word proverb mean? It means a saying with a hidden spiritual truth, right? So God's going to teach you something. He's going to use two alternatives. He's going to, many times in the book of Proverbs, he's going to say, a fool does this, but a wise person does this. Now think about it. What are you, right? So he's going to give you two opposite ends, and he's going to say, now think about it. And that is God's way. I think that's one of the most important things about reading your Bible is it's never look, your Bible reading is boring because you're it's either mechanical and you're brushing through it or you're reading too fast. The other stories in the Bible, take Genesis. Those read like stories at a time. All right. Proverbs and many times, sometimes chapters in the book of Psalms, they read. The book, once again, poetry, you most of the time, especially Proverbs, you'll read a verse and then stop. Every once in a while, I'll show you some verses that go together. There might be two or three or four that go together, but most of the time it's one verse. Now think about it. Another verse. Now think about it. So as we start this tonight, wisdom, understanding, God says this is the most, you know what it says, verse 7, wisdom's the principal thing. That means the word principal, it means the source from which everything else rises. So wisdom, God says, if you could get wisdom, all of us are going to make mistakes, but you'd make fewer mistakes. And there's many mistakes that you didn't have to make, and the only reason you made those mistakes is because you didn't use God's wisdom to solve the problem. I remember one person saying, in other words, I've been to the school of hard knocks. Okay, did you know that's where fools go? They only learn the hard way. And we'll look at that tonight. They can't learn from the Bible. I've been around, I got, and that's the wrong type of wisdom. God says, I want to teach you so you can handle problems without mistakes, right? So it's the principal thing. It is the source from which everything else flows. If you can get wisdom, I like saying this, life can turn out right. Amen? And without wisdom, life's miserable. Life's miserable, and people are unhappy without it. With this understanding, go to James chapter 2. James, as far as if you're looking at now, here's what's unique about James. The book of James in the New Testament, right after the book of Hebrews, it's called the Proverbs of the New Testament, okay? And it has so many single verses or two that stand out and that you can take without taking them out of context. So they call the book of James the Proverbs of the New Testament. That's kind of neat. We're in Proverbs. But in this book, God says here in James, watch this, James chapter 3 should stand out to you as the tongue chapter, right? What's the thing you have to learn to control the most in the Christian life? Your mouth. What will cause more pain in your lifetime and the lives of other people than any other? Your mouth. Your tongue. Okay? It's set on fire of hell, full of deadly poison. Nobody can tame it. All right? That's the first major part. He ends it this way after he teaches, after God teaches us on our tongue. Look at verse number 13. Who is a wise man? And endued with knowledge among you, let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. Okay? So, look at verse 14. But if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. So God says, face the problem. What's envy? Jealousy is when somebody has something that you want, but you may not deserve. Envy is a little different. Envy is when you want something somebody else has because you feel it belongs to you. That's envy. Jealousy is like, oh, they've got, you know, here, let's use, they've got a nicer car than me, and I really wish I had a nicer car. That's jealousy. Envy is, I should have what you have. I deserve it more. And envy is dangerous. They are kind of related, jealousy and envy. But here God says, you should pay attention to the desires of your heart and how you view other people. Because if there's bitter envying, right, and strife in your hearts, then face the truth and don't lie. Look at verse 15. Ready? This wisdom that would actually make you think somebody has something that you deserve. This wisdom descendeth not from above, so it's not from heaven, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. So there's two wisdoms. There's a wisdom that comes from above, and there's a wisdom that comes from hell. We call it worldly wisdom. And God says, you want to know the difference between the two? He says here, verse 16, where envying, there it is again, and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. Wow. There's something wrong when there's constant. Everybody's going to have disagreements, but when it's all the time and the bickering never stops and the griping and the anger and the fighting and the contention, something's wrong. Something's bad wrong. Because that's not how life is supposed, especially if it's in the home. You'll notice parents that don't spank normally yell a lot. And then with the yelling comes cursing. It's not right. Something's wrong. There's no wisdom there. Here, he says the wisdom, there's a wisdom that comes from heaven, and there's a wisdom that comes from hell or the world. Look at verse 17. The wisdom that is from above is first pure. That means it's separated. It won't hurt you. It's pure. Okay, here we go. The wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy. And notice this word here, and good fruits. It has results. Fruits. Things you can see because of the decisions made. It has good fruits. Without partiality. Here we go. The wisdom that's from above is not partial. It's not, I put down in my Bible, no favoritism. No dissimulation. Let love be without dissimulation. Nothing that separates. In other words, proper love says, God gave me love to give to everybody, and I don't love anybody more than I love anybody else. That takes work of letting God work. But I know this, when I like somebody more than I like somebody else, that means my heart isn't right. In other words, when I'm playing favorites, when I, that person, you know, I wait a second. God says there's no partiality in God's wisdom. I should be able to help everybody, even those that hate me if they need my help. If they're broken down on the side of the road, I should be willing to stop, regardless of who they are. Now, if they got a gun pointed at me, I'm going to keep on driving. Okay, I mean, there's a little wisdom there. Okay, no, but that doesn't happen now, all right? But does everybody understand? There should be nobody that I'm not willing to help. There should be no partiality if I'm applying God's wisdom to my life. I should be willing to be what anybody needs for me to help them. No partiality. Lot there, the wisdom that's from above. And watch this, and without hypocrisy. Okay? Here's the word, verse 18, and the fruit of righteousness, there it is again, is sown in peace of them that make peace. Once again, if it was God's wisdom that made your decision, you'll see good results from it. You'll have good fruit from it. But if it was you that made the decision and you didn't use God's wisdom, you're going to smart for it. I like the old statement. I saw somebody wearing a shirt and it said, stupid should hurt. You know what I mean? It should hurt. If you don't want to do things God's way, we're going to find out. It brings a curse with it. If you want to act stupid, here we go. James 3 tells us there is a wisdom from above and a wisdom from below. I don't want the world's wisdom. The world's wisdom is what develops religions. That's why it's devilish. Well, that makes sense. If you go to church and get baptized, then you'll go to heaven. Well, that makes sense. Yeah, if you get in the baptistry, that'll wash away your sins. That's worldly wisdom. It's devilish. It's sensual. It makes sense, but it's nowhere found in the Bible, right? And so the world's religions develops their logic and the worship of the mind. And the, you know, when Paul preached in Acts 17 to the Athenians, it says they sought to hear or see some new thing. They didn't want truth. They just wanted something new. Ooh, tell us something new. Tell us something progressive. Tell us something we've never heard before. And that's a worship of the mind. That's an education. I know more than you. All right. So now take your Bible and go to Proverbs. Proverbs. Let's go back. Now that we've seen that there's a worldly wisdom and there is a wisdom from God or the Bible, to get God's wisdom, Proverbs tells us that's why the book of Proverbs is called the book of wisdom. All right. Don't get that confused with an apocryphal book. But if you want God's wisdom, then put God's wisdom in your mind and let God teach you how to think and how to analyze and look at things. If you want God's wisdom, I remember when a young preacher came up and said, Brother Hiles, would you pray that I get wisdom? And Brother Hiles said, if you want wisdom, read the Bible. He said, and you're not going to have my wisdom. I've been reading the book of Proverbs every day for 50 years. You're not going to have my wisdom. But if you want God's wisdom, then you start reading the Bible. Wisdom comes from, yes, asking, but you got to do more than ask for God's wisdom. You got to read the book. right? Now, what makes Proverbs neat, the book of wisdom, is 31 days in our most, don't get into the skip months and all that other stuff, and February 28 days, but just think 31 days in a month. That means a chapter in Proverbs could be read every day, whatever day it is. Today's the 26th of May. That means you could, there's wonderful ways of reading your Bible, but you could do this with Psalms. But right now with Proverbs, you could turn to the 26th chapter of Proverbs. And this morning, before you come to church, you read the wisdom of that day, right? And you get God's thoughts. We're going to do that for Proverbs 26 this evening. So if you turn to Proverbs 26, watch this. Verse 1, remember how you read Proverbs? You read and you think. You read and you think. So that's what we're going to do. This is a Bible study, you could say. And you're right. The more you read the Bible, the more God helps your reference system. So this would be like me reading the Bible with you. All right. But you're still supposed to think. You may not have reference verses, but you're still supposed to think, what is God saying in this truth? Ready? Here we go. As snow in summer, that's unnatural, right? Snow happening in summer. And as rain in harvest, so honor is not seemly for a fool. Okay? This is similar to God saying, you can tell when I'm judging a nation because they call evil good and good evil. They reverse it, and you cannot honor a fool. All right? It's like watching Hollywood celebrities. They're perverts. They're sick animals, but yet, oh, let's honor them. There's movie awards and there's all of this, and they come up and they're to give honor to a fool. God says it just seems so wrong. It's so out of place, and it should be. Here, look at verse 2 now. Ready? As the bird by wandering and as the swallow by flying, so the curse causeless shall not come. What's supposed to happen when something happens in your life that's bad, all right? We were in Tennessee, we had one lady in the church, one mother, and somebody got lice. And if you're in the bus ministry, lice is a part of life, okay? It's nothing anybody likes, but you just learn to deal with it, amen? But every time somebody got lice, she'd always go, oh, that was a plague in Egypt. Oh, that's God's judgment on that person. And I was like, no, it's not. It's in the Bible. It's a plague sent by God. And I was like, you need to, I mean, every time somebody got light, honey, do you remember that? And this was and she was like, I can't let my girls in the youth group because the whole youth group is plagued. Like that. And I was like, so every bad thing is not a lice, here we go. Did you know rich people get lice too? It's just they know how to keep their mouth shut about it, right? In other words, poor people are not the only people who get lice, okay? It is a problem, and if you're around those little boogers or bed bugs or whatever, it's going to happen, and if it hasn't happened, God bless you, okay? But most people have dealt with it sometime in their life. I said that to say, the curse causeless shall not come. God says when something bad happens in your life, not like lice. I think lice is a hassle. I never thought of our whole family has lice. You say, did that happen? Well, sort of. The boys with short hair don't get it as much as the girls with long hair. But I've never looked at lice as a curse. But I do say this. When the tragedy and the hard times are happening, what's supposed to happen is every Christian looks up and says, God, you got my attention. That's what's supposed to happen, because the curse causeless shall not come. Is God trying? In other words, give God the opportunity to say, hey, I'm trying to get your attention. There is a ministry of suffering in the Bible. There are those who have been called to suffer to show us that God can meet our needs and give them grace. But most tragedies and most things I think is God working in our life trying to get our attention. To show you that's why God says, read this, think about why this is happening. And I put some verses down here. Go to Hosea chapter 4. Now, that's in the Minor Prophets. That's in the part of the Bible where everybody hopes the Bible drill is not. All right, so Hosea, right after the book of Daniel. Hosea chapter 4. Watch this. Hosea chapter 4. Look at verse 1. Hear the word of the Lord, ye children of Israel. For the Lord hath a controversy with the inhabitants of the land. God has something against you. I think it was just pointed out to us, April, we're in May now. Last April I can't remember how many tornadoes were mentioned. How many tornadoes in America happened in April, and it's the second highest tornado number in the history of our nation. They've been keeping track of it since 1850, okay, but I get it. The only one that was higher was the one when George Bush Sr. was president. That month had like 800 tornadoes. That's because every time we turn our back on Israel. Well, what happened in April, right? They stopped Biden stopped the funding, right? And all this for Israel. Every time we do something again, a natural disaster hits our nation. And that says, God said, I'll destroy all the nations that come against Israel, right? So I said that to say, God has a controversy with the inhabitants of the land. Watch this, because there is no truth, nor mercy, nor knowledge of God in the land. God says, when you do things against my word, I have something. That what's supposed to happen is when the disaster happens, God, what do you want? Okay, Lord, you got my attention. Verse 2, by swearing and lying and killing and stealing and committing adultery, they break out and blood toucheth blood. Therefore, shall the land mourn, and everyone that dwelleth therein shall languish with the beasts of the field and with the fowls of heaven. Yea, the fishes of the sea also shall be taken away. And you can follow this through. Look at verse 6. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee. The curse causeless shall not come. If we're experiencing food shortages, there's a reason. If we're experiencing a lot of, there's more storms than have ever. It's not global warming, I promise you. I promise it's not global warming. We don't all need to buy an electric car. Nobody wants one of those. Amen. Stupid pieces of junk. If you have one, God bless you. All right. but nobody wants an electric car as far as just one big oversized battery. I said that to say the answer is not global warming. Well, you need to stop burning wood. If I stop burning wood, it's not going to clear the air, and India and China aren't going to clean up their mess. Don't tell me to get rid of my gas stove. Okay, here we go. Now that I got that off the chat, I'm just saying it's not global warming. The curse is here because God has a controversy with the land. One more verse on this. Go to Micah chapter 6. Look at Micah chapter 6. Once again, it's in the Minor Prophets. Micah chapter 6. This word controversy, God has a controversy with the inhabitants of the land. This word's used twice in Micah 6:2. Watch this, Micah 6:2. Hear ye, O mountains, the Lord's controversy, and ye strong foundations of the earth, for the Lord hath a controversy with his people, and he will plead with Israel. O my people, what have I done unto thee? And wherein have I wearied thee? Testify against me. Tell me, where did I wrong you? What a chapter. As you work your way through this, God says, I brought thee up out of the land of Egypt and redeemed thee out of the house of servants. And I sent before thee Moses, Aaron, and Miriam. Oh, my people, remember now what, and he says, remember what I've done for you. Verse 6, wherewith shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before the high God and come before him with burnt offerings, with calves of a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams or with 10,000s of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn, your own child, for my transgression? No. The fruit of my body for the sin of my soul. Verse 8 should be marked in your Bible. He hath showed thee, O man, what is good. And what doth the Lord require of thee? Three things. To do justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with thy God. That's what God expects. When something goes wrong and God has a controversy, we're not, okay, God. How much money? God says, I'm not looking for your money. I want your heart. And what I require of you is your justice, loving mercy, and walking with me. God says, that's what I require. I like what one person said. Psychology teaches you that your problems are everybody else's. I don't care if it's Freudian psychology or it's the way you were raised or your dad never bought you a fishing pole or did all this stupid stuff. The Bible teaches you your problems are your sin is your fault. It was because of what you chose to do. It's nobody else's fault. Own it. Tell God you're sorry. Let God get your attention. The curse causeless shall not come. So when something bad happens, when the tragedy happens, I think God's wisdom says, okay, stop. Look up and say, God, you got my attention. I remember where I'll give you one instance, then we'll go on to the next verse. When our house flooded in Tennessee, January 26th, 2002. I remember the date more. I remember going to the house and our kids, we moved in with somebody in the church. We stayed there for 4.5 months and they were so sweet to us. I remember the next morning I drove back down to 408 Second Avenue. Water was everywhere. Of course, the sewage and all the toilets are backed up. Everything, it's just nasty and you don't wade into it. And I remember sitting there at the edge of the water going, okay, God, what do you want? You got my attention. Amen. You say, well, they opened up the dam 6 miles north of the river, and that's how come it flooded here. You can go through all the circumstances, but bottom line is the curse causeless shall not come. And I said, God, and I don't know that it was a curse, but it was much as God trying to get our attention, saying, you're moving from Tennessee to West Virginia. Well, God, I'm going to restore the house. And so the men of the church got behind me and we went into the house. We started peeling the drywall off. We started redoing the house. And then I remember when they came by and condemned the house. You know, they removed the power meter off the wall. Then they put condemned. You can't condemn the house. I'm going to rebuild it. I'm going to put it on stilts, 30 feet high, all this stupid stuff, right? No, you're not going to rebuild the house. You're moving. My wife, she watched me go through all this stuff. No, God says the Nash family is never going to live at 408 Second Avenue, Columbia, Tennessee anymore. I said, okay, God. And I'll never forget when I looked up at the Lord, here we are. We didn't lose everything. We were able to get stuff up into the attic. So it wasn't one of those floods, you know what I mean? But it was a flood where the house is gone and we'd never been there before. And I remember when I looked up at the Lord and I said, okay, God, what do you want? Immediately in my heart, God said, you know exactly what I want. You're moving. You're leaving. Where? You know exactly where. It wasn't unknown. I wasn't going into an abyss. Amen. God used that tragedy. And I just think I think that's supposed to happen in everybody's life. Amen. Somebody said, well, how am I going to know if God's spanking me? God spanks his children. Hebrews chapter 12. I like what the man that taught me soul winning said. He said, son, when God spanks you, you know. You don't doubt. You don't wonder. In our case, God wasn't spanking us. God was directing us. God was moving us. Amen. So the curse causeless shall not come. Go back to Proverbs. Look at verse 3. Ready? Remember, I'm trying to get God's wisdom for life. God says, with everything you've got, with all you're getting, get wisdom. And if you can, there'll be some foolish mistakes you'll watch others make that you can avoid. Right? If you can just get God's wisdom. Wisdom is, if it's the principal thing, then is it anywhere on your prayer list? Do you ask God every day for wisdom? Please, God, help me do things your way. God, give me wisdom. God, show me. Russell Anderson used to say before every financial endeavor, he said, Lord, I really need to make $50,000. That missionary needs that. He said, I bought the land for 80, and I really need to sell that land. And he said, I bought it for 80,000. The missionary needs 50,000. They say it's only worth 120,000, but Lord, I really need to sell that land for 130,000 so I can send that. He said, I'd ask God, Lord, how do I do this? He said, and God showed this old 50 cents an hour coal miner from Kentucky how to manipulate money. He said, so that I could make money to do what? Give away. Give away. He said, he looked at me in the car and he said, there's only one way that can happen, son. He said, we know who it ain't, we know who it is. The Lord, he said, gave him wisdom on moving money and manipulating it. He said, I don't have a degree in finances, but he passed a lot of millions of dollars for the Lord's work. Amen. God can give you wisdom. Look at verse 3. Ready? It says here, a whip for the horse, a bridle for the ass, and a rod for the fool's back. Well, how come you need a whip for a horse? Because the only thing a horse responds to is pain. How come you need a bridle for the ass? Because they're stubborn. They respond only to pain. You can't direct them with words. You have to cause pain. That's what the bridle does, right? When you pull on this side of the mouth, it pinches the tongue or pinches the cheek, and they turn towards the pain to get it to stop. You can't say, turn left, turn right. I know there's bridle training and all that stuff, but for rein training. But right now, just stick with it. God said, and a fool only responds to pain and needs it. There's a verse for this. Go to Psalm 32. Watch this. God tells us to not respond this way. We're just taking verses and thinking through it. Look at Psalm 32, right? Psalm 32. And look at verse 8. God promises here, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. What a promise of God. God, I need your help today. I need your direction. I need you to show me. I need you to teach me. Look at verse 9. Be ye not as the horse or as the mule, which have no understanding, whose mouth must be held in with bit and bridle, lest they come near unto thee. He said, don't be like a horse. Or he said, I want to teach you with my word. I want to instruct you and show you. He said, don't be somebody, the only thing they respond to is pain. So to steer them in their life, God has to, then they go this way. Then when it's time to switch directions, God goes, okay, turn. And God has to allow pain in their life to steer them. God says, don't be like a horse or a mule. Don't be like an animal. God said, you know how you get God's instruction? You read God's word and you let God speak to your heart. You ask God for help. God, show me what to do. It's not in the Bible who you're supposed to marry. But God, can God lead you and instruct you and teach you who you're supposed to marry? Yes, if you'll ask. God, please show me. Teach me. Guide me. Here's another one. It doesn't say in the Bible where you're supposed to work. But can God guide you in your job selection? Sure he can. God wants to help you, but God says some people, the only thing they respond to is pain. That's it. They won't listen. They're void of the Holy Spirit as far as they don't let the Holy Spirit speak to their heart. They don't read God's word. They don't let God correct them. And so they're like an animal. Okay, go back to, a rod for the fool's back. Go back to Proverbs 26, right? Proverbs 26. We looked at verse 3, and watch this. Verse 4, here we go. Answer not a fool according to his folly, lest thou also be like unto him. Now, verse 5 is, you could say it's an antithesis, you could say it's the opposite, you could say, but it's not a contradiction. And verse 4 and 5 are what Bible critics use to criticize the Bible. See, God says, answer not a fool, and then God says, answer. There's no contradiction in the Bible. Read them closely and you'll find out what God says. Verse 4, let's read it again. Answer not a fool according to his folly, lest thou also be like unto him. Verse 5, answer a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise in his own conceit. There are some questions that people really sincerely ask because they want to know. There are other questions people ask to draw you out, to smack you. And they try to draw you out in the open, and it's a setup. God says, have the wisdom to tell when to hush up, not answer them, and have the wisdom to rebuke. You know what scares me about the whole scares, fears? When somebody says, there's a lot of stuff on the internet against the Bible. There's a lot of Calvinism that people have no business listening to. But somebody said, well, can you teach me how to debate James White? I said, I don't read the Bible like James White. He reads the Bible to criticize it. I read the Bible because I'm looking for truth. There's a difference. There's people who study the Bible all day long so that they can say, see, there's a contradiction in their eyes, and see, that's what's wrong with the Bible. They damn their souls to hell. They read the Bible to criticize the Bible. They don't read it to believe it. I said, if I were you, I'd stay away from the James White videos, Paul Washer, all that stuff. I said, sometimes you need to learn. What did we learn today in Acts 13, verse 10? Thou enemy of all righteousness, thou child of the devil, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? And struck the man blind. Every once in a while, God says, if you'll smite the scorner, the simple, beware. But everybody doesn't need a rebuke. Got to be careful with that. Sometimes you're supposed to answer not, and sometimes you're supposed to rebuke. Okay? Who tells you the difference? The Holy Spirit. That's the answer to verse 4 and 5. Well, there are no contradictions in your Bible. But if you'd listen to the Holy Spirit, God will tell you when to shut your mouth and when to correct. Some people actually believe they can talk their way out of every problem. What's it saying in Psalm 4? The more I talk, the more they're for war. They're only drawing you out and pausing so they can draw back and punch. They're just like a Muslim, right? They're going to find your flaws and your weaknesses and capitalize them. You need to learn. I love answering people's questions, and I love taking time for people. But the moment I can tell, who will I not take time for? When I talk to a Jehovah's Witness, I like talking to them. But I got to be real careful, because is it me talking, trying to win them to the Lord, or is it my flesh feeding on eating their lunch and showing how much I know? I've already been full circle with that. Am I trying to win them to the Lord? When I talk to a Jehovah's Witness, I'll give them a few contradictions. I'll say, would you like to know how to be saved? Well, no, the Jehovah's Watchtower. I said, I already know what you believe. And I didn't come here to hear what you believe. I already know what you believe. I came here to show you how to go to heaven. Would you like to know how to go to heaven? Well, no, the Watchtower. I said, then have a good day. If you ever need anything, let me know. I already know, right? Some people you're not supposed to answer. Who teaches you? Some people you're supposed to answer. Here, a neat verse for this, a neat application as we read and I'm thinking about the Bible, is look at Matthew 7, verse 6. Look what Jesus told us to do, right? Ready? Matthew chapter 7, look at verse 6. Give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you. Don't cast your pearls before swine. I'll teach you the Bible if you want to know the Bible. If you want to just argue and push your point and show us how it's really supposed to be done here at Gospel Light Baptist Church and show us where we're wrong, you can take a long walk off a short dock. Amen. And, you know, we've had one person come here. That was 6 years ago. No, that was 8 years ago. Amen. Okay, I said that to say, God says, don't cast your pearls before swine. You should be able, when you talk to people, if they want your help, then you help them. If they don't want your help, if they're there to criticize, then you should know how to shut them down nicely and move on. Amen? Answer not, answer. That's verse, Proverbs. Here we go. Go back to Proverbs chapter 26. We're working our way through this here. Ready? Watch this. Look at verse number 6. He that sendeth a message by the hand of a fool cutteth off the feet and drinketh damage. Okay, so if you would rely on a fool to do something that's needing to be done, it's your fault when you get hurt. You're the one that cut your feet off. You're the one that drunk the Drano or the damage, right? Because you would not use the Bible to judge between a fool and a wise person. That pain in your life is your fault. You drunk that willingly. Somebody says, well, I don't judge. You're supposed to judge. Here, watch this. To see this, when you read your Bible, go to Proverbs 14. Remember, the purpose of Proverbs and wisdom is so that you can know who's a fool and who's not. You're supposed to be able to look at people and say, because of how you act and how you talk, God says you're wise, or God says you're a fool, or somewhere in between. And you have to label people. If not, how do you stay away from the wrong crowd? Psalm 14, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Right? A trait of a fool is, well, I don't think I need to get saved. Then what are you doing spending time with them? Here's a classic. What are you doing listening to their music? How can people listen to Southern Gospel? Some of the groups, I mean, they talk about after their shows, they're smoking behind stage, and then the fornication that goes on and the cussing that goes on. One person, when I was teaching on music 10 years ago, he said, going backstage with contemporary artists, he said, even Southern Gospel groups, he said, it's terrifying. He said, the things they talk about and what they do, he said, it's disgusting. What are you doing spending time with them? How can you do that? You have to be able to say, that's a fool and that's a wise person based on the Bible. You're in Proverbs 14. Let's just look at a few of them. Ready? Proverbs chapter 14. Look at verse 9. It says, fools make a mock at sin. There's a trait of a fool. They make fun of what's wrong. They don't have a problem. It's always, oh, that's not so bad. They mock at sin. God says, when people do that, you should, as a Christian, say, you're a fool. How about this? You're in Proverbs 14:9. Look at Proverbs 17, verse 28. Proverbs 17, verse 28. Right? Remember, tonight I'm looking for wisdom because it's the principal thing and it's what I'm supposed to get with all my getting. And the only reason I don't have wisdom is because I either don't want it or I didn't ask God for it. But as I read the Bible, God teaches me how He wants me to think. Right? Proverbs 17, and look at verse number 28. Ready? Even a fool, when he holdeth his peace, is counted wise. And he that shutteth his lips is esteemed a man of understanding. So what's another fool of a, what's another trait of a fool? They talk a lot. They can never shut up. Oh, okay. They can never be quiet. All right? We had one family come to our church. I think this is before you all came, but the mother told the husband, we will never go to that church again because he said shut up. Okay, so shut up is not supposed to offend you, but at any rate, here we go. Y'all get the picture? A fool never hushes his mouth. They're just chatty all the time. They just talk all the time. And oh, I just speak my mind. And did you know speaking your mind is a trait of a fool? Well, I just say what I think. You're a fool. I just speak my heart. You're a fool. It has no filter, right? Can the Holy Spirit tell you, don't speak a word? Can the Holy Spirit tell you, just the last part of that? How about this? Look at two more verses here. Ready? Here we go. Chapter 18. Look at chapter 18, verse 6. Here in Proverbs, chapter 18. What are the traits of a fool so I don't get hurt by them? Proverbs chapter 18, look at verse 6. It says, a fool's lips enter into contention, and his mouth calleth for strokes. And verse 7, a fool's mouth is his destruction, and his lips are the snare of his soul. Some people amaze me. You really talked about that at work? You talked about that with a lost person? How can they understand anything that's spiritual until they get saved? You really griped about your church, the Christian school? You griped to a lost person? You know that's the trait of a fool, right? You don't control what you talk about. You just, if you're frustrated, it goes on Facebook. And if you're tight about something, it gets exposed. God says, don't have that trait. Control yourself. One more. You're in Proverbs 18, verse 6. Look at verse 21. You're in verse 6, look at verse 21. Ready? Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. What a verse. What comes out of your mouth either helps people or hurts people. And if it hurts people, you're a fool. You didn't think about what you said. See, you're not responsible for what you said. You're responsible for how the person you talked with took it.
I didn't say anything bad. I just told them the truth.
But was it taken that way? There's some people you can't correct. They'll always take it wrong. Nobody tells them what to do. Best thing to do is back out. Wisdom says, just hush. A fool talks a lot, traits of a fool. Go back to verse number 6. Ready? Proverbs 26, verse 6. He that sendeth a message by the hand of a fool cutteth off the feet and drinketh damage. I wrote in my Bible, it's your fault you got hurt. You actually depended on someone who did not care about what the Bible says. You actually confided in somebody that wasn't spiritual. A friend of mine said, you'll be cut the most, not by the world. As a pastor, the people that'll hurt you and cut you the most are flesh-driven Christians. You will bleed the most. It's not the world that causes problems. He said, but can you perceive when somebody is spiritual and when somebody's fleshly, when somebody's right with God and when they're backslidden? I never judge that. You better. Because if you confide in them when they're backslidden, they'll turn on you and they will cut you deep. What a verse, right? That pain was your fault. You didn't pray before you opened your mouth. You didn't pray before you confided, and you didn't pray before you trusted. That pain you got from that, that's your fault. What a verse, right? You see how I'm thinking through one? And I'm thinking, what is God saying? That was verse 6. Look at verse 7. Ready? The legs of the lame are not equal, so is a parable in the mouth of fools. Just so everybody knows, they said every human being's legs are not, in other words, your femur and your tibia and your fibia and all that. Everybody's has a difference between your left and right leg somehow, some way. And it's just small. Praise God, we can all walk. Amen. But some, it's a birth defect, right? If one becomes too much shorter, that's where you get the limping, right? That's where you get the. Here he says the legs of a lame person are not equal, and so he said is a parable in the mouth of fools. I have a line drawn down to verse from 7 to verse 9. Ready? Here we go. Ready? As a thorn goeth up into the hand of a drunkard, so is a parable in the mouth of fools. What's a parable? A parable is a saying that's supposed to hold truth and a spiritual truth that helps. But in the mouth of a fool, that same parable that was supposed to help somebody is a thorn in the hand of a drunkard. And what's the hand of a drunkard? It's numb. It's anesthetized, right? It can't feel the damage that it's being done. So what was supposed to help somebody from the Bible is used in the wrong way in the mouth of a fool, and it hurts people. And what was supposed to help people causes contention and pain. A parable in the mouth of a fool. What's he doing talking that way? Right? It just seemed, remember that honoring a fool? Okay, in verse 1. And so look at, that was 7 and 9. Look at verse 8. Ready? As he that bindeth a stone in a sling, so is he that giveth honor to a fool. You could say the curse causeless. In other words, what happens when you bind a stone in a sling, right? You know what a sling is, right? Goes on this finger, holds out a pouch, and then you do it, right? What David did, right? Well, if you bind the stone in the sling, seems goofy. I hope it hits you in the head, right? It won't go anywhere. It won't accomplish what you wanted to accomplish. So if you bind the stone in the sling, if you give honor to a fool, why? It's useless, and all it does is encourages them in their foolishness. But it accomplishes no good. It just brings forth more foolishness. Right? When you read your Bible, look at the verse. If you don't know what something is, look up the definition. How could anybody not know what a word means in the day of Siri and Google and all of that stuff? For crying out loud, just ask the definition, right? It'll get you started. All right. I've got a good English dictionary on my computer, but you're trying to think, I need God's wisdom. God, teach me how to think. Look at verse 10. The great God that formed all things both rewardeth the fool and rewardeth transgressors. God rewards transgressors. I have a line drawn from verse 10 to verse 2. The curse causeless shall not come. Right? God rewards transgressors. The way of transgressors is hard. When somebody says, I'm going to do it my way instead of God's way, they're in for a hard life. They're in for a miserable time. That's verse 10. Watch verse 11. As a dog returneth to his vomit, So a fool returneth to his folly. What a verse in the Bible. You know, the old saying, if a dog, dogs do eat their vomit, but normally it's because something's wrong. Okay, as nasty as that is. The only thing worse than that is what? A dog that eats its own stool. Okay? Now, that dog has a problem. That's not natural. The dog is not gifted just because you don't have to pick up after it. Okay? So, in other words, it's like, why is it eating that? Right? Well, here God says, just as nasty, and I have, I think our dog's done it. It's eaten its own vomit and stuff. And when you see it, it's kind of like, ugh, that's disgusting. God's letting you know what he thinks and how he feels when you can't get victory and deliverance. So a fool returns to his folly, never any deliverance from the sin. All of us are at different points in our Christian life, and everybody is supposed to analyze yourself and say, what do I need to work on? And there are besetting sins, right? Hebrews, right? Chapter 12, the race that is set before us. Let us lay the sins that so easily beset us. Everybody has sins that they're prone to, but there shouldn't be any sin that if you pray over it and fast and ask God's help, you can't get victory over. Because the only reason we sin is not because we want to. Excuse me, it's not because we have to, it's because we want to. Right? So God says, as disgusting as it is when a dog returns to his vomit, it's the same thing I feel when my people can't get victory and they won't experience deliverance. They won't let God help them with their flaws. All of us have things we need to work on, right? God says, but when you keep going back to it over and over and over again, God says, that makes me sick to my stomach. This verse is quoted in the New Testament. Look at the New Testament quote. Go to, 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 2. And we're coming to a close here, okay? 2 Peter chapter 2. And look at, now, in chapter 2, 2 Peter chapter 2 and Jude are how to recognize a false teacher, okay? They're traits. They always are after money, and they're always immoral. Always. There's always money and immoral filth involved with false teaching. Always. 2 Peter chapter 2 and Jude. Now, there's a few more traits, and there's a way they schmooze it around and they manipulate words, but the whole chapter's on false teachers. He says here, right? Look at 2 Peter chapter 2 and look at verse number. Here we go, verse 20. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. They escape the pollutions. It doesn't say that they were saved. You ever heard somebody said, oh, you need to try Jesus? You don't try Jesus. You don't give Jesus a try. That's what a goofy way to talk. If you do not get saved, but you associate yourself with Jesus, it's kind of like, well, I'm with him as long as things, you know, go my way and I can, you know, and here God says that's very dangerous for a person to be. If they've escaped the pollutions of the world through, you know, they're going to church, but they're not saved. They're inspecting. Dangerous. Watch. Look at verse number 21. It had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. It would have been better for them to never learn the Bible than learn the Bible and turn their back on it. I don't think this is talking about saved people. It definitely isn't talking about losing your salvation because you can't do that. But it's talking about people who will learn the Bible and then turn their back on it. Now comes the quoting of Proverbs 26. Look at verse 22. But it happened unto them, according to the true proverb, the dog is returned to his own vomit again. And then God gives you some more insight. And the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. What happens when you spray a pig off? Oh, you are so nasty and muddy. Here, let me give you some water and scrub you and put some perfume on you. You know where the sow's going when it gets hot? It's going back to the mud hole. And God says, let's sum it all up, and then we'll close it. I'm trying to help you in reading Proverbs. My goal is supposed to be, dear God, give me wisdom. with all you're getting, get this, because it's the principal thing. It's the source from which everything flows. So when you read Proverbs one a day, one chapter a day, whatever day it is, think about what God's saying. And what's that? What's the last thing we read? When God's people cannot experience victory and deliverance because it's something they want. God says, that makes me sick because I could deliver you from that. Amen. Don't be like a dog that returns to its vomit. I think what's even gross, it's gross watching a dog eat its vomit, but here it says, again. So that, here we go. Ready? You didn't just eat, did you? They eat the vomit. Then they throw it up. Then they eat it again. Then they throw it up. You say, that is so gross. I'll say it again. God's trying to tell us, makes you sick? It really makes me sick. Right? What a truth. Amen. Dear God, help me have your wisdom. I want God's wisdom, not the wisdom that comes from below, but the wisdom from above. Let's pray. Father, please use these truths. Help us, please, as we read your precious word. Lord, for you to speak to our hearts and Lord, for you to guide us and help us, please. Dear God, help us. Bless these people, please. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's all stand. The piano is going to play. We'll have a short...